Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. We are delighted that you joined us for today's broadcast. Our prayer is for the Word of God to transform you into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, while simultaneously causing you to triumph everywhere the soles of your feet shall tread. Now let's get into the Word with Apostle Trevor Banks.
Touches the mountain, lest they be thrust through with a dart, or they be stoned to death, whatever. And it wasn't, God did that because of his glory. He knows what his glory will do to sinful flesh, or to flesh that is not prepared. The high priest going into the Holy of Holies, if he wasn't prepared properly, it would consume him. He'd die. When Uzzah touched the ark foolishly, he died. He didn't mean any harm. He just tried to study it, died. When the people of Beth Shemesh opened it up and looked in there, hundreds of thousands of them died. And it wasn't God being cruel. It was God being God. That's why he said, that's why he has to protect or guard his glory. Because he knows it will be destructive. Matter of fact, Let me get a verse here. I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you can get that for me, let me see if that's a verse. 1 Corinthians 2. No, I'm sorry. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. No, it's not first, it's the second Thessalonians chapter 2, I think. Yeah. Look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm sorry, second Thessalonians chapter 2. And it's speaking here about the Antichrist, the man of sin being revealed. But in verse 8 it says, "And then shall that wicked be revealed." Look at this. "Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." Think about that a moment. Just his entering into the atmosphere. Okay? So here we are. We're wanting to see his glory. God says, okay, we'll have to prepare you. Moses, I'm going to come down. I want to talk to Jacob. I want to talk. I want everyone to hear. See, they had just 3 months come out of Egypt. So there's a whole lot of Egypt still in them. God said, don't let them come near. Don't let them touch the mount, lest they be destroyed. And Israel was all for it. They said, we want to hear God. Right? So they come to the mount. God comes down. First, there's this trumpet, a heavenly trumpet. That's blowing, that's getting louder and louder and louder and louder. Then there are thunderings, thunders, lightning, black smoke at the top of the mountain, fire like a furnace. The mountain is quaking and trembling. It's sending fear into the people. It's like God starts talking to Moses. Now Moses, contrary to the Israelites was backing up. Moses wanted to go to where the glory was. Moses, God called him into the mount. Moses went into the mount, but he was talking and he allowed the Israelites to hear his voice. Are you following? They could hear him talking, and they could hear the thunderings. They could see the lightnings. They could hear the quaking of the whole mountain. And God was talking. And the purpose of that was for God to put a reverential fear in them. Overwhelm their senses. Anybody ever been overwhelmed with God's presence at any point in time? Where it's like, whoa, that's too much. But you came out of that experience like with a reverence. It humbled you. You didn't become scared of God. You reverenced God. There's two types of fear. There's that scared, and then there's that reverence. Moses had the reverence. The Israelites, because of Egypt still being on the inside, they had a scared fear. And they said to Moses, Moses, you talk to God. We don't want to hear him anymore. We don't want to hear him. We don't want to hear him. We'll listen to you. Look at somebody, it's a big mistake. There's where they start to get off. They didn't want to hear God for themselves. They don't want to hear God for themselves. I'm satisfied with reading a book. I'm satisfied with the preacher. I'm satisfied with tapes. I'm satisfied with, and no true, intimate, personal relationship. They said, Moses, you talk to us. That shifted everything. Because what was God's plan? To make the nation a kingdom of priests. A peculiar treasure above all other people. 3 months in, God had a plan. If they'd have listened, he said, and if you will keep my covenant. But the sad reality, not long after that, now the next chapter, God gives Moses the Ten Commandments. And he's up there 40 days again, and the people, after they ate, rose up to play. And that Egypt that was in them started coming out. They said, Aaron, Moses ain't coming back. After all that stuff we saw on that mountain, he did. He ain't coming back. Make us a God we can worship. Come on, that Egypt. See, this is why God got to deal with you, to bring you into the pattern. How can God entrust you with stewardship of his glory and you're not in the pattern? It'll destroy you, and it'll destroy other people too. And one thing that God really is a pet peeve with God is when your life turns other people away from him. Mm-hmm. That's a no-no. I'd much rather get out the way and say, no, don't follow me. But God wanted a kingdom of priests. A kingdom of priests, people that would hear him and he could talk to. So they told him, you know, no, we're not going to listen. We don't want to listen to hear God. It's too much. We'll hear you. And so when he went up again to get the Ten Commandments and God gave him the Ten Commandments, they rose up to play after eating, and Aaron. made him a golden calf, like the golden calves in Egypt that they once worshipped. And so they not only did they worship the golden calf, they had an orgy around it. Now, jump on wickedness. Here, God knew who they were, but yet he gave them a chance. If you could stand listening to me, if you can stay and obey my covenant, I'll make you that peculiar people. But it wasn't in them. So Moses comes down and he's so angry, he throws the tablets, right? And they're broken. He has to go back and get more tablets. But I want to point this out. Your way or Yahweh? See, just that choice. I don't want to hear God. Let's bring it into the modern day. I ain't got time to pray like that. I don't have time to study or read the word. I don't have time to attend service. I don't have time. We could say that today. They were saying that back then. Moses, no. We'll just, you know, take the crumbs that you give us, but you listen to God. That's for you. That ain't for us. So we've established that. So in chapter 20, the Ten Commandments were given. Now, let's establish this. I really want you to see this even today. And this Old Testament has been written for our learning, because today it's not about a preacher or an individual. It's about us corporately and individually hearing God ourselves. Look at someone, tell them, you got to hear God. Rather say this to him, you can hear God. Now that doesn't negate the other. That doesn't mean that we don't need the other. We're the body of Christ. As a matter of fact, if we are hearing God, we're hearing God together. And we're moving together in a frequency as the body of Christ. Different gifts, different callings, different graces, different anointings, different mantles. But we are an expression of who he is. All right? When we're truly hearing from God. But you, tell somebody again, you must hear God. And you know, having that ear to hear, sometimes you can hear him through a message. Sometimes you can hear him through a conversation. It doesn't mean that it's just limited to you praying and hearing God. But when you pray, there are times God will speak to you when you pray. Not all the time, but there are times when sometimes you open up your scripture, God will tell you where to go. Or he'll speak to you through the scripture. But you must have that ear to hear. Israel didn't have it, because if the flesh or the carnal man or even the natural man is in control, he's at enmity against God. He don't want what God is offering. The natural man, that's you in your best state aside from God. Don't want God. He's at enmity against God. In your flesh there dwelleth no good thing. That's why horror is important, that we die to that stuff. There's a weakness in God that's stronger than you. There's a foolishness in God that's wiser than you. That's our Kadesh Barnea, our entry point. Doesn't matter how someone can come to the altar and pray the prayer or say the prayer. Has their heart been? Is it for real? God knows. But so many have said stuff, but it's just said stuff. It's just said. But when there's a heart cry, it's like the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee went into the temple to pray and said, Lord, I thank you. I'm not like this publican. I tithe.
Have you ever felt like God was calling you higher? Higher than routine, higher than religion, higher than just going through the motions. In The Rise of the Remnant, Apostle Trevor Banks Sr. helps you discover how to leave behind the weight of hypocrisy, distraction, and doubt, and rise into the fullness of God's grace, using the very skies above us, from the troposphere to the stratosphere. Apostle Trevor Banks shows us what it means to grow in faith, to push past obstacles, and to live as the authentic you. This is a call to transformation, a call to go deeper, a call to rise. Don't settle for surface living. Be part of the remnant God is raising up. The Rise of the Remnant by Apostle Trevor Banks. Available now wherever books are sold.
Thank you for listening to On to Perfection. If you would like to order today's message, or if you want more information about our church, contact us at 772-465-0036. For updates on ministries and other events, visit our website at www.reslifefl.com. That's www.reslifefl.com. And remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.